Has God really been good to you? I believe the Lord has been good to me, and He's been good to you as well. Just want to ask you a couple of questions, and here's the questions. The message is this. The title is this. Are you listening? Lord, help me to be thankful. Lord, help me to be thankful. I got a feeling, if you're honest with me and I'm honest with you, all of us could use a little bit more thanksgiving. We're just not as thankful as ought to be. I'm just confessing it. And that's the title of the message. Lord, help me to be more thankful. I mean, God has been good to me. He's been good to all of us. He's blessed us beyond measure. In fact, the Word of God teaches there in the book of Psalms, I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's say that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And again, the Scripture teaches Psalm 68 and 19. He daily loads us with benefits. Oh, yes, God has blessed us beyond measure. Psalm 116, verse 12. The psalmist said this. Are you listening? He said, what can I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits? Listen, God has just blessed us beyond measure over and over again. Psalm 100. We're to do what, Brother Ronnie? Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Let's say that together. We're to enter His gates with thanksgiving. One more time. Are you thankful today? Does your heart really go out to God? Or are you just taking your blessing for granted like we often do? Oh, yes, God has been good. He surely has. And speaking of the goodness of God, I saw Brother Claude McGee this week. He's 90 years young. He just turned 90 in October. And you know what he was doing the other day? Barbara said that Claude, believe it or not, he's limited, but yet he's still doing things. She said the other day he was up on the roof, blowing leaves off the roof, 90 years old. I said, I wish you wouldn't have told me that, because that's not good. But anyway, God has blessed us, and the Lord has certainly done wonderful things in our life. I want to talk today on the subject of, Lord, help me to be grateful. How many are grateful tonight? Today? How many are really grateful? No, don't raise your hand if you're not really grateful. Are you really, really, really thankful? You see, thanksgiving is thanks living. If you're really thankful, it'll make a difference in your life. And the truth of the matter is often we complain more than we thank God. And that's why this service today is for us to get out of our whining mode and get into a shining mode and say, Lord, You've been good to me. You know, I'm thankful to God, for the Scripture teaches that He's the God of a second chance. I'm grateful to God for His blessings. You know why? Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'm thankful to God. You know why? Because He says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. I'm thankful to God. You know why? Because He gives us a song in the night. In the book of Job 35 and 10, He gives us a song in the night. Last night was a long night for me. I've been battling some sinus infection the last couple of days. And I tell you what, it sure will bless you in the night when you say, oh God, thank You for being with us. Thank You for healing our body. Thank You, Jesus. The night might get long and cold, but I'm thankful to God that Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5 says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh yes, are you thankful to God today that He says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's Isaiah. Are you thankful to God today that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that riseth in judgment you shall condemn? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and His righteousness is of Him. That's Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Are you thankful to God for His blessings? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to God, to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation make a way to escape that that you might be able to bear it. I'm thankful to God that there's a way to escape from temptation. Oh yes, I'm thankful to God if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful to God that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm thankful to God that every good, that's Galatians 2:20, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. I'm glad that God said, Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you in John 14. Oh yes, we got a lot to be grateful for. In fact, today we're going to look in the Bible and find a man that I can hardly find a letter that he wrote to churches that's not addressed with thanksgiving. And you know who it is? It's Paul. Every single letter that he wrote, as we look in the scriptures, find he was a man of great thanksgiving. Are you known as a person of thankful heart? Are you known as a person of great gratitude? Do people hear you whine and complain all the time? Does your family hear you bicker about what's going wrong and all of your problems? You know what today, beloved, look at me. You know what the day we end up doing today, it seems like our favorite pastimes are talking about who has the most aches and pains. Amen. Well, I've got this and my back hurts and my leg hurts, and we all go through it, and if we're not careful, we can dig a hole of discouragement and depression, because all we talk about is the bad stuff going on in our lives. Somebody say amen. Oh yes, you know what I'm talking about. In the book of Romans, for example, Paul said that, listen, the crowd that God's going to turn over to be a reprobate mind, because they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither indeed were thankful. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Paul further said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he said, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. You know why some of our children are unthankful? God spoke to my heart yesterday about this. You know why some of our grandchildren are unthankful? Because we're unthankful. That might be why our children and grandchildren are unthankful, is we're not thankful. I suggest to you today that we might need an old-fashioned revival of thanksgiving today. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, when you go to your table, sit down and give thanks. How many know that God still goes to restaurants? Amen. He does. Do you give thanks when you eat your meal? You say, but Pastor, I don't want to be a hypocrite and draw attention when I go to a restaurant. God goes to restaurants too. I'm not doing it to impress anybody else, but we ought to be thankful to God. How many say, Pastor, I say a blessing over my meal because I realize that it's a blessing from God, that I don't have to have it, but God's provided for it, my daily bread, and that the Lord, I just want to thank Him for it. It doesn't matter what people say or what people think about me. And further, Paul said, as they were singing, the redeemed, Parsons redeemed, you know, when they said, there ain't no grave going to keep this body down, Paul said in that great 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, remember, it's the resurrection chapter, Christ died for our sins and was buried, the third day rose again, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and then he said this, in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And then he said in verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Oh yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Paul said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Paul said it again. Interesting. I'm just telling you little highlights of his thankfulness to God. Are you thankful to God? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, His unmerited gift, His unlimited gift, His undefiled gift, His gift of all gifts, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 20. Thanks, he says, giving thanks for all things to the church of Ephesus. We come to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Remember, Paul's in prison. It's a prison epistle, and he says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Say it with me. With thanksgiving. One more time. With thanksgiving. Are you praying with thanksgiving? Are you praying and thanking God regardless of what you're going through? That's, Lord, teach me to be thankful. Lord, help me to be more grateful. We come to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Verse 16, rejoice forevermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Say it with me. In everything give thanks. I can't hear you. In everything give thanks. Are you thanking God for the, wait a minute, the good times and the bad times? Are you thanking God for the mountains and the valleys? In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul said, I thank God who hath found me and put me in the ministry in the book of 1 Timothy. But I want you to zero in with me for a few more minutes in the book of Colossians. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians. We come to Colossians. Remember, Paul is writing this prison epistle. Some say he never really visited the church. And we find in this particular epistle that Paul is refuting those Gnostics, yea, those false teachers. They were advocating, they were suggesting that there was something more out there beside Jesus. Why, if you could just get to the place for asceticism, or if you get the place of worshiping angels, you've arrived. Paul said, no, Jesus is our sufficiency. Oh yeah, if you hadn't discovered Jesus, you don't understand. He is all you need. You don't need some kind of this and that. Just find out who you are in the Lord. And so, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the wonderful word of God this morning. Colossians, we begin in chapter 1. He says this wonderful prayer to the church of Colossae. If you want to study the prayers of Paul, you can see that he gives thanks to the church of Ephesus and gives thanks for the church of Philippi and gives thanks for the church of Colossae, gives thanks for the church of Thessalonica. We were there in Colossae just a couple of years ago. I mentioned it to you. But nonetheless, here in chapter 1, notice all the times Paul is saying, give thanks. Are you known as a person of thanks, or do you need to pray today, God, like I'm praying, help me to be more thankful. Help me to be more thankful. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to be more thankful. You don't really mean it, though, do you? Some of you just looked down. You didn't want to really say it, did you? Oh, God, I want to be more thankful. How many of you husbands are thankful for your wives? How many husbands today, you hadn't told your wife in a long time, you're thankful for her? How many wives have said, honey, I just want to thank God for you because of your hard work? How many of you children have said to your parents, I want to thank God for you? I'm telling you, today we should have an old-fashioned revival if we just start thanking God. How many are thankful to you, God, for your children and grandchildren? Oh yes, Lord. You know you're going to gather there on Thursday or maybe today. I'm telling you, God's going to get us prepared. That's the motive for today's message. Lord, I want to be more thankful. Colossians chapter 1, notice verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. And notice with me, verse 6 and 7, among other things, in chapter 1, we're co-equal with the Father. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and he's the head over all things to the church. Paul is depicting the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of the living God, as God in the flesh. He comes down to chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Look at it. Oh God, help us to be more thankful. Look what he says in verse 6. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. The word received there is the word lambano, which means a active receiving, not a passive. Oh, I believe in God up in my head. No, have you really received him? As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Notice, rooted and built up in him. Have you been taught, abounding therewith? With what? With what? Man, it's all throughout the Bible. Thanksgiving, and this is the journey God led me on that I'm leading you on today, is thanksgiving is a vital part of the message of the Word of God. Now then, turn to chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, and we'll come back and we'll see what God has for us as we develop this more and more. Look over in chapter 3, this wonderful truth about us being raised up with Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places. Look over, please, in verse number 15. Look in verse 15 of chapter 3. And let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. No wonder, chapter 4, look at chapter 4. Isn't it interesting? Every single chapter, he's talking about thanksgiving. Are you talking about thanksgiving? Is it just turkey and dressing? Is it just about a football game? Is it just about a day off? What is thanksgiving? Are you really thankful to God? Is it a time when you do what you want to do? Or is it a time when you really are thankful to God? Notice chapter 3 and chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. Every chapter is permeated with the theme of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you now for changing my heart, saving my soul, forgiving my sin. And Lord, I bless you today that I'm nothing but your everything. Now, Lord, we just commit our time to you. Pray, Father God, I can't change people's heart. I can't even change my own heart. But God, you can change the Ethiopian skin and the leper spot. And I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, that you will zero in on us today, that you'll forgive us and cleanse us of sins of ingratitude and ungratefulness to you and to each other. And Father God, that you'll have the glory, the preeminence in this place today. Lord, help us to receive the Word of God. Help us not to fight you, Lord. Help us not to resist you, Lord. Help us, dear God, not to be critical and judgmental and self-righteous, but God, help us to be broken and bent and subdued. And Lord, as a servant of the living God, that you will fill us today and anoint us today and empower us, God, to go out of here and telling the world that our Redeemer lives and that you're a living God and you're still in the life-changing business. And we thank you now for the victory we have in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many are taking notes? You may be seated. My time's going. I've got to go fast. How many are taking notes? Let me see your hand. Number one, there are three challenges I have for you today. Three challenges, three goals in this matter of, Lord, teach me to be more thankful. Number one, Lord, teach me to be thankful for the things I know. The things I know. Number two, Lord, teach me to be thankful for the things I don't know. I don't know. Number three, Lord, teach me to be thankful for the things that I am learning to know. I'm learning to understand. Number one, Lord, teach me to be thankful for the things. Number one, the things rather than putting no, put the word understand. Thankful to God for the things that I do understand. I'm thankful to God, number two, for the things I don't understand. Number three, I'm thankful to God for the things that I'm learning to understand. Number one, I'm thankful to God for the things that I do understand. What do I understand? Can I tell you what I'm thankful for today? I just want to share testimony today. Is that all right? Is it okay if I share a testimony with y'all today? Is it okay? Well, number one, I'm thankful to God for the Word of God. Amen and amen and amen. I'm thankful to God for the Word of God. Now, you can take it for granted, and it can get on your shelf and my shelf and collect dust if it want to, and we can check our phone and our email and our text messages more than we do the Word of God, or we can watch television more than we do the Word of God. If we want to, God allows us to do that. But I'm thankful to God, and I think we as the people of God ought to be grateful to God for the Word of God. Oh, if you can't get that, you're backslidden from God. If the Word of God doesn't mean anything to you, you might not even be a child of God. The Word of God. You know what it is? The psalmist said it's a lamp unto our feet. The psalmist said it's a light unto our path. The psalmist said, oh yes, we can hide its word in our heart that we might not sin against God. And you know what the writer to Romans, Paul, said? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm thankful to God today. Lord, help me to be more grateful for the Word of God. You know what it is? The Word of God is a GPS. God was speaking in my heart this week as I was thinking and praying about today. It's God's GPS system. God's place of security. GPS, God's place of security. It'll guide you. Jeremiah said it's like a hammer that breaks in pieces. Jeremiah said it's like a fire shut up in my bones. A writer of Hebrews said it's a quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut and pierce bone and marrow, able to judge the intention of any human heart. I'm thankful to God for the Word of God. By the way, you know your GPS system in your car will, or your phone will, get you lost. You do know that, don't you? This past week, I was in Griffin, Georgia, going to a funeral. I was scheduled to be over at Haston Funeral Home. And I said, no big deal. I don't think I've ever been to Haston Funeral Home. I typed it into my GPS system. Next thing you know, I end up over there off Futrell Drive, somewhere on the backside of Griffin somewhere. And it was about 10 miles away from the funeral home. I said, bless God, the GPS system's supposed to get me there, but it don't know how to get there. How many know it might have had something to do with the operator of the GPS system? Amen. It'd have helped if I'd have put in Haston McCollum. But the Bible, watch this, the Bible is a roadmap. It's a guide. It tells us this is the will of God. It tells me I'm a lost, hell-bound sinner. I can't save myself. But it tells me about a great Savior. Oh, yes, I'm thankful to God for the Word of God. Secondly, I'm thankful to God not only for the Word of God, but for the Spirit of God. You know why I'm thankful to the Spirit of God? Because the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was active in creation. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, as he brooded over the water. We find in the book of Old Testament that the Holy Spirit came upon individuals, certain tasks. The Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson. It was glimpses of the third person of the Trinity coming upon people for the purpose of power in the Old Testament. However, we come to the New Testament, and you know what we find about the Holy Spirit? Jesus said when he's come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Jesus said this. He said he'll guide us into all truth. I'm telling you, we're living a day where we need the truth. Amen and amen and amen. And you see, the Holy Spirit, he is a comforter, as Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16. And then he told his disciples, we're talking about, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. He said to his disciples who had been out with him, they had taught, they had preached, they had healed, they had done many wonderful miracles. And yet Jesus said, wait and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. I suggest to you today, several Sunday school teachers, preachers, Christians, the thing that's missing in our life is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be filled with the Spirit. You know why? Because we're leaky vessels, all right? I leak down, you leak down. By the way, I want to say something the Lord spoke to my heart earlier this morning about. Tell me the truth. I love you, but I got to tell you this. So often at Thanksgiving time, some of us want to be in control. Yeah, you done got everything figured out. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Our family's going to get here. And you, if you're not careful, you can be a control freak and miss out on what God wants to do at Thanksgiving. You want to control, and if we're not careful, we can kind of, watch this. See, if you're here, I don't know if you're here or not, but I know that it's easy to get here. We want to control people, even during Thanksgiving. I want my family to come, but I want to kind of control things. As long as I'm in control, I'm all right. You know, that's a big problem we have. Oh, yes, instead of us being in control, the Holy Spirit wants to be in control. Ah, I can tell when conviction falls. Y'all get real quiet. Start looking out the window. Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God, he wants to control us. Be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be endued with the Spirit of God. There's a difference in a cucumber and a pickle. You know the difference in a cucumber and a pickle? A cucumber is not a pickle, and a pickle is not a cucumber. The cucumber is in its state of its own, but a pickle has been endued and saturated and inundated with the pickle juice. A pickle can never be a cucumber anymore. Oh, no, it's invaded with the cucumber. The cucumber's invaded with the pickle juice. I want to tell you something. When you really get Jesus in, you'll never be the same again. You can't be the same anymore. You can't think the same anymore. The Holy Spirit has come. By the way, he comes to birth us in the family of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, they didn't give any power to become sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Not only has he birthed us, but wait, he indwells us for the purpose of guidance. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Spirit of God. Oh, yes. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. You know what happens every Sunday morning? Some of you will sit here today, and when we give the invitation in a little while, you'll sit there and say, I wonder who he's talking about today, preacher. I mean, God, I wonder who he's talking about, the preacher was talking about. God's talking to you and me. And so rather than grieve the Holy Spirit and say, he's talking about somebody, I'm a thankful person, are you really? I believe all of us could use a little bit more thanksgiving. I'm convinced all of us aren't as thankful as we ought to be. And so, be filled with, I'm thankful to God for the Word of God. I'm thankful to God for the Spirit of God. Thirdly, I'm thankful to God for the blood of the Son of God. Look at Colossians 1, verse 14. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, yes, look at verse 13. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. And verse 14, in whom we have redemption. Speaking of redeem, agorizo is the word redeem. It means to buy back. It means to purchase back. It means to set somebody free. And when, like you sang a moment ago, when Jesus comes in, thank God, He sets you free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin and one day the very presence of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. You've gotten used to the blessings of God, haven't you? You just kind of gotten used to them, and we just expect them, and we just say, well, God, I deserve them. No, we don't deserve the blessings of God. I'm thankful to God for the blood of the Lamb, because nothing else can wash away our sin but the blood of the Lamb. You see, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, Peter wrote, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without spot, without blemish. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, now to Him this washed us from our sins in His own blood. That means loosed us from our sins in His own blood. Oh, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Can I tell you something? I'm thankful to God for the blood of the Son of God. Are you? I said, are you thankful for the blood? If you're not, you need to pinch yourself and say, self, you need to be thankful for the blood of the Lamb. Yes, you do. You do. I'm telling you, we're in a state of stupor these days. We're in a state where we're putting our dependence on a president-elect Trump. I'm glad that he's a president-elect, but we need to pray for him. I've got news for you. He can't help us like God can help us. We got to put our trust in Him. I know all of our eggs are in the basket we're watching, and I'm glad that He's getting together a team, but I'm telling you, you're going to be sadly disappointed if you put your trust in the arm of flesh. God will do valiantly. God shall tread down enemies. The Lord won't fail us. I know it's a relief, some say. Anyway, you know what? I was at the hospital this week over at Clearview up in Monroe, Georgia, and a man sitting there beside me in the waiting room. We got to talking about some different things. Anyway, he said this. He said, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I've been redeemed. I know I'm heaven bound. How many could say that today? Raise your hand. All right, not everybody could raise your hand. I don't know why, but anyway, I'm telling you, I got to preach fast. You got to hang with me. And so here's the deal. I said, hey, he said, I know I'm saved, but here's what he said. He said, I've gotten unforgiveness in my heart. I can't forgive anybody. Yeah, that keeps you engaged. You know, I got to kind of keep you alert and so that you won't fall asleep. Amen. Anyway, hey, he said, I've gotten the place. Watch this. And maybe you're right there today. He said, I've gotten the place where there's somebody I can't really forgive. I said, why not? He said, well, I just, he didn't go into great detail. And then God gave me the opportunity to talk with him. Some of you are bitter, aren't you? Come on. You're bitter, aren't you? You're angry. You're resentful. I understand. I get that way. But listen, you don't have to stay that way. The Lord can set you free. You don't have to walk around mad or look like you've been weaned on a pickle. You can walk around with the joy of the Lord. Hey, look, I shared with that man. I said, hey, look, that Jesus forgave me of my sins. What right do I have to harbor resentment or unforgiveness toward anybody? In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul said, forbearing one another. You know what that means? Putting up with one another. That means forgiving each other. Hey, look, everybody's not like you. Everybody's not like me, thank God, amen. But that's all right. Be who God made you to be, amen. And when you get together with your family, stop trying to change everybody and just pray and ask God to help you to be thankful. Number one, I'm thankful to God for the Word of God. Two, I'm thankful to God for the blood of the Son of God. Two was, I'm thankful to God for the Spirit of God. Three, before I tell you three, and four. You know what that man did? He prayed right there at the hospital. He said, tears well up in his eyes. He said, you know, I can't go on like this. I know that God's forgiven me, and I've got to forgive too. And praise God, there was a breakthrough right there at the hospital. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Glory. Hey, look, I'm thankful to God. What are you thankful for? Will you sit down and do your own Thanksgiving list? I did mine. When you going to do yours? You going to wait till after Thanksgiving? You going to wait till Christmas? You going to wait till next Thanksgiving before you develop a Thanksgiving list? Do it now. Do it today. The Lord had me to do it, and this isn't exhausted by any means. I'm thankful to God not only for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the blood of the Son of God. I'm thankful to God for the promises of God. Amen. All of them in Jesus are yea. And do you know any promises? How many promises can you name? How many promises can you name? One? Two? Would you have to look and say, wait a minute, I got to think about that. I got to get my concordance out. How many promises do you know? How many promises do you go around every day and say, dear God, thank you for your promises. Oh, thanks to be to God, not only for his promises, but I'm thankful to God for the love of God. It's greater and bigger than anything we ever know. How many are grateful for the love of God? Oh, yes. Ephesians 2, Paul said, you were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh and of the eyes, and were by nature children of wrath. Paul's saying that to the church of Ephesus. He's saying that about me and you. We were children of wrath. Do you understand what you were outside of Christ? I said, do you understand what you were outside of Christ? No self-righteousness, no flesh of glory in his presence. But wait a minute, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy with his great love, wherein he loved us. Y'all know that song, Brother Johnny? The love of God is greater far, Julie, than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bound down with sin, God gave his son to win, his erring child to reconcile and pardon from their sin. I like this part. Could we with ink the ocean dry, and were the skies of parchment made to write, the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. It was the love of God that brought me out of a life of sin and degradation. I need somebody to help me there. I said, I need somebody to help me there. I said, are you really saved today? Hey, look, the love of God is great big. Speaking of that, I heard about a lady that went to the store. She was trying to get all of her Thanksgiving meals set up. And boy, she was there at the grocery store. She looked behind the counter, and behind the counter were all these frozen turkeys. She said to the lady working behind the counter, she said, these turkeys don't get any bigger than that. The lady said, no, ma'am, they're all dead. You'll get it later, all right? Anyway, it's hard to smile, okay? A merry heart, do a good like medicine. It'll lower your blood pressure, hello? Hey, look, you've been stressed long enough. You've been walking around and you're stressing other people out. Look at me, you're stressing other people out. You're so stressed that other people around you, they don't want to be around you because you're stressing them out. I just had to say that, I'm sorry. I feel better now. Oh, your loved ones won't tell you that, but I did. I told you that because I'm your pastor and I love you, and you know I love you. Get over what you're going through. Get over it and start getting thankful to God. All right, get over it, get over it, get over it, get over it, and get thankful to God. Well, number two, I'm thankful to God not only for the things I understand. Number two, I'm thankful to God for the things I don't understand. Hang with me. Things I don't understand. Number one, I don't understand the unknown. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 following. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4 of chapter 3. When Christ is who is your life shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Be thankful to God for the things that are unknown. Hey, listen, I need a witness in the house today. How many would say, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen next week, completely. You don't know what's going to happen next week. You might think you do. Look at me. You don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen next week. Certain things we know are going to happen. You're not in control. I'm not in control. God's in control. And therefore, watch, this is important. God, help me to be thankful for the things unknown to me, but known to you. That's a breakthrough. Somebody got a breakthrough right there. Lord, help me to be grateful for things I don't understand, and they're out of my control. And yet, Lord, they're unknown to me. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Y'all, look at me. Look at me. You know who I visited yesterday? Marie Luttrell. You talk about somebody saying, God, I can't tell you about the unknown. It'll do you good to go visit people like that. Go to the nursing home. Visit people that are in their condition. I'm telling you, when you find yourself ungrateful, it'll cause you to come away saying, God, I've got a lot to be thankful for. And sometimes I get that. I get in a rut. Y'all ever get in a rut? You go visit somebody that's been hit. Bombshell. Stage 4 cancer. Liver and pancreas. I visited her yesterday. Here's what she said. She said, Pastor, she said, I'm just looking to God. She said, God's will be done. That's what she said. Things unknown. But God knows about it. Number two, not only, Lord, help me to be grateful for the things I don't understand, things I do understand, things I don't understand. I don't understand the unknown. I don't understand, watch this, I don't understand the up look is better than the down look. Some of you have been looking down, hadn't you? You've been looking at all your circumstances, hadn't you? You've been thinking about all your aches and pains, hadn't you? You've been thinking about all the things going wrong, hadn't you? Let me suggest to you, stop looking down, start looking up. Look what Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 1. If or since you being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit at the right hand of God. Start looking up, not down. Hey, some things I don't understand. I don't understand the unknown. I don't understand about looking up. We'll keep you encouraged instead of looking down. Number three, I don't understand how, watch this, unoffered prayer is unanswered prayer. I said unoffered prayer is unanswered prayer. Look at Colossians 4, verse 2. Look at Colossians 4, verse 2. Are you there? He said, watch, continue thou in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. He said it, we read it earlier. Look at it. He said in Colossians 4, verse 2, continue thou in prayer. The same, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I just want to say something, and I'll be done in a moment. How many are going to get together with your family this week? Let me see your hand. You're going to get together with your family sometime, maybe not Thursday, maybe today, maybe sometime. How many are going to get together with your family? Let me see your hand. All right, good, good. Every one of us, I think, just about every one of us. Are you praying about it? Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Why not? Tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go busy all week long. You're going to rush to get there. It's going to be Thanksgiving. You're all stressed out about it and trying to change people. And rather than just resting in the Lord, can I suggest something today? Will you pray about it before you get together with your loved ones and friends? It'll make a difference. Hey, y'all, look at me. It might be the last Thanksgiving you ever spend with your loved one. Right, Diane? It was the last Thanksgiving, Lorraine. You wouldn't have known it last year at this time, would you? I'm telling you, it might be the last Thanksgiving you spend with your loved one. Are you praying about it? Hey, things that I don't understand. Unoffered prayers, unanswered prayer. And then, last but not least, and I'll close. Lord, help me to be grateful for the things I do understand. Help me to be grateful for the things I don't understand. Thirdly, help me to be grateful for the things I'm learning to understand. Learning to understand. Number one, I'm learning that God can bring healing in the past. He can bring help in the present and hope for the future. Are you learning that? Are you learning that? Hope, help, and healing. Secondly, I'm learning. Watch this. I'm learning this. God can, watch this. You know what the Lord does? He says in His Word, that God help me, watch this, give me peace to accept the things I can't change. Are you praying that? You got some things in your life right now. Peace to accept the things I can't change. Power to change the things I can. Your presence to know the difference.
things that I'm learning to understand. I wonder today, as we think for a moment, last but not least, things I don't understand. See if you agree with me. Good things come out of bad situations. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. Get this. Get it. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. Good things come out of bad situations. I need to say it again. Good things come out of bad situations. If we don't get that today, we will be knocked off balance when the bad things come. I know we're going to be knocked off anyway, but I hope we'll come back to understand that good things come out of bad situations. I stood there at the graveside this week of a 66-year-old lady, Dan McGee's wife. Went to see her. She had treatments, and anyway, long story short, her autoimmune system, she couldn't fight off any kind of immunity. It was a strange, rare situation. For the last 2 years, she's been going down, down, down. Finally, I got a call at 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning of last week. And Dan said, she's gone. We're having the funeral home, visitation Wednesday night. He said, I want you to preach the funeral on Thursday. I said, I'd be honored to. Listen, I stood there at the graveside as the family was leaving. And as I was leaving the graveside, two young people came up to me, a 22-year-old. How many know 22-year-olds young? A 22-year-old and an 18-year-old young man. They said this to me. They said, Pastor, God spoke to us through the service. And I was praying for you too, by the way, Brother Chris, battling with this stuff. Anyway, they said, God spoke to our heart. We hadn't been in church, but this Sunday we're going to start going back to church. I know I'm a Christian. How many know somebody that's not in church? Let me see your hand. Yeah, you got family that's not in church, don't you? We all do. And that's why this coming, get together with your family, is important, that you stay focused. You need to get focused. You need to know what to say and what not to say. Can I get a witness? Amen. And if you're not focused, you're going to have your mouth going and you haven't thought about what you're saying. And if you're not careful, you're going to make things worse than they already are. Y'all shutting down on me. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Yes. And so the young couple said, God spoke to our heart. Bad things happen, but good things come out of bad situations. I'm going to stop there. And I wonder today, as you stand to your feet,